Now a story about men who do long nights of hard work and who want to get paid for their long hours. They're suing the company they say they work for, the big chicken company Perdue Farms. They want to be paid overtime. But Perdue says these men don't work for us. One thing is not in dispute. They work in a part of the country where chicken is king.
What the computer is to Silicon Valley, what the car is to Detroit, that's what chicken is to the Delmarva Peninsula. Delmarva is the eastern shore of the Chesapeake Bay. It's a composite name, D-E-L for Delaware, M-A-R for Maryland, and V-A for Virginia. Delmarva is home to the fabled wild ponies of Chincoteague in the south and to Dover Air Force Base in the north. But all throughout this strip of land, almost 200 miles north to south and 70 miles wide at its girth, there is one constant.
Basically, all in all, you know, it's chickens and more chickens and more chickens.
Clarence Heath used to work with chickens on Delmarva. He worked for Perdue Farms, which in this century turned chicken from a delicacy into a cheap, plentiful staple of the American diet. This story is from the dark side of the age of cheap chicken, about people who do just one of the hard, dirty jobs of the chicken business. They are called chicken catchers, crews of men who go into the chicken houses, usually at night, to grab birds live by the handful and send them off to slaughter. For 14 years, Clarence Heath did that job.
The job is hot, especially in the summertime. You're catching chicken houses, 90 degrees in a house, dust, ammonia, the heat. It's a very degrading job.
To appreciate the chicken catcher's complaint, you have to appreciate how all those chickens are raised. From the day they're hatched until the day they're bought by the supermarket or the fast food chain, the chickens belong to a big chicken company, Perdue, Tyson, ConAgra. Clarence Heath used to catch Perdue broilers, chickens that are owned by Perdue but raised by independent growers. The growers are farmers who contract with Perdue and maintain chicken houses to specifications set by the company. The chicks, or biddies, arrive when they're one day old, in a school bus painted white. They are in plastic trays, 100 to a tray, and the men who bring the birds into the chicken house dump them on the ground like a box full of lemons. This chicken house receives 28,000 chicks. It's best to walk among the chirping biddies in a shuffle. At age one day, they flock toward your feet, and it's all you can do to avoid stepping on them as a busload of trays is emptied and the chicks form a living yellow carpet. As the chickens grow, they lose the impulse to flock toward people. When they are 6 weeks old, a walk down the center of a chicken house summons images of Moses parting a sea of poultry. The chickens, covering nearly all the surface of the chicken house, flee helter-skelter at any approaching footstep. The air in the chicken house is thick with dust, feathers, and the smell of ammonia, the product of chicken waste and water. 23 hours a day, the chicken house is lit to keep the chickens awake and eating. Over the weeks, the birds are fattened by feed deposited by Perdue. Growers say these chickens, destined to be broilers, are so fat in the breast, their organs can barely keep pace with their body's growth. Some just keel over from heart attacks. The vast majority survive till the day their grower's farm is on Perdue's kill sheet for what's called the live haul. By that time, the broilers are typically 7 weeks old and weigh 4 or 5 pounds. The job now is to collect those chickens and transport them to a processing plant at the precise moment that Perdue is ready for them. And this is where the catchers enter the story.
Mighty heavy there.
Typically, the catchers work in teams of six, led by a crew chief. They often work overnight, because that's when the chickens are more docile. Nearly all the catchers on Delmarva are black. Some of them wear face masks for protection against the dust. Some wear tights or pantyhose under their pants to prevent chafing. A catcher will cut holes in a pair of sweat socks to turn them into soft work gloves. Many wear kerchiefs tied tight around their heads. It's the headgear of prison yards. And some of the men who do this work are on work release, catching chickens while residing in a state prison. Others come out of the poorest spots on Delmarva, where catching chickens is seen as quick money for hard labor. Growers complain of rude language, of empty liquor bottles found around the chicken houses. Very few of the growers have toilet facilities for the catchers, so they relieve themselves where they can. The catch is carefully timed. A truck loaded with pallets is parked outside the chicken house. A forklift speeds from the truck, depositing empty pallets inside and returning with full ones. A team of catchers fills a pallet drawer by drawer with chickens. It's demeaning work. The chickens scratch and urinate on the catchers as they're lifted into the drawers. Clarence Heath says a pallet might hold 315 chickens. And the time that he and a partner have to fill it is the duration of one round trip by the forklift.
Less than 2 minutes.
315 chickens in less than two minutes. And you're grabbing several in each hand.
Yeah, four in one hand and three in the other hand.
How are you holding the chickens?
There's a technique to keep them from doing a lot of scratching. The technique is if you're catching with your right hand, you catch the right leg. If you catch it with your left hand, you catch the left leg of the bird that you're going to get. When I squat, I know which birds I'm going to pick up. When I squat, I know I want this bird, I want that bird, I want that. I mean, simultaneously, you just work. And you lock them in. And they're locked in. This finger is your catching finger. And you lock them in. Once you get the birds, the required birds, you get up, you go, put them in the drawer.
This goes on for hours. Work starts at the Purdue plant, and with travel to a couple of farms a night, the hours add up. One afternoon, Elwood Collins, a 24-year-old chicken catcher from Marion Station, Maryland, described his previous night, one that he called hectic but not unusual. He had turned up at the Purdue plant at midnight, as instructed. But he says the crew chief showed up an hour late. Some of the other catchers showed up even later, so they set out for the first of two farms at about 1:30 in the morning. They got lost once. Twice, a truck was late, so the job was interrupted. The result, an incredibly long workday.
By the time the whole day was over with, by the time we left the farm, I say it was probably about 12:30 when we left the farm. By the time we got into the plant, it was probably about 1:30 when we got in at the plant. But last night it was pretty hectic and pretty tossing. So
I mean, you showed up at the plant to begin your day's work at midnight.
Yep.
And your day's work ended at 1:30 in the afternoon the next day.
Yes, 1:30 in the afternoon. We was out there probably about 13 to 12 hours. That's more roughly 13 hours, really.
And how many chickens did your crew catch all that time?
I believe anywhere from between 55 to 53,000, somewhere in that rough estimate.
How much you think you made yesterday?
Maybe about $97 or $100, if the most. At the most, $100 at the most, but I'm quite sure not over that, though. We didn't make over there, I know.
The catchers are not paid by the hour, but by the piece, so no overtime. For every 1,000 chickens a team brings in, each catcher makes about $2. The rate varies according to the weight of the birds. $90 to $100 a night, five long nights a week, gets Elwood Collins a sparsely furnished trailer on a garbage-strewn lot where he and his wife raise two small children. It's not a life he wishes on them.
No way. No way. You know, I'd rather go through the dirt and mud and the dust myself and, you know, grow them, let them have a college education and go into a better life than this. It's not fit for really even humans, really. But, when you got people that, need the money and most of the only trade that really pays around here, really on the Eastern Shore, without our college education, that's really pretty much what you fall back on. But I wouldn't recommend it really for nobody that didn't have to.
Elwood Collins is a plaintiff against Purdue Farms. So is Clarence Heath. They want overtime, which they figure could mean as much as $5,000 more a year. They're represented by the Public Justice Center, a public interest law group based in Baltimore. But there's a problem with the chicken catchers' lawsuit. The catchers formally don't work for Purdue Farms. Clarence Heath, who caught chickens for 14 years, used to work for Purdue and says he had a good deal.
We had a medical plan, a vacation plan. There was a pension plan. There was also profit sharing. There was also you could have 2% of your pay put into some sort of savings, and Purdue would match it. There was quite a few benefits. of working for the company.
According to the Public Justice Center, by 1992, Purdue had stopped employing the catchers. The company wrote up contracts with their crew chiefs and set them up as independent contractors. And since then, the crew chiefs employ the catchers. Purdue says to the catchers' lawsuit, there's no basis for it. And to our request for comment about it, it's in litigation, so no interview. Purdue says simply, we hire independent contractors who hire the catchers. We don't hire the catchers. Well, Clarence Heath, who was catching Purdue chickens until last summer, shakes his head over that claim.
I can only tell you what I'm told, that I don't work for Purdue, but I climb in a truck that has his name on the side. I pick up chickens that belong to him. I put them in a pallet that belongs to him, which are moved out by a forklift that's owned by him. And put on a truck, on a trailer that's owned by Purdue, but I don't work for Purdue.
Crew chiefs who currently contract with Purdue wouldn't talk with us, but this much is clear. A Purdue contractor works exclusively for Purdue, not for one chicken company this month and another one next month, and Purdue gives them a schedule of how much to pay their catchers. Lilton Sturgis used to be a crew chief. He says that what Purdue called his contract wasn't negotiated, it was dictated by the company. Purdue told him how much everyone should be paid, including himself.
$450 for Sturgis, crew leading, so much for the catcher, so much for forklift driver. See, what you do, what he done, see, he just wrote up a contract and said, you work for this, or, you know, you go. That's it. That's where it is. So that's what we done.
This use of contracted crew bosses is familiar to farm workers, and the chicken companies have claimed that catchers are agricultural workers and therefore exempt from the labor laws that guarantee overtime. The Supreme Court ruled otherwise in a 1996 decision. That case involved union organizing at another chicken company. The court ruled that chicken catchers are not agricultural workers, but more like production workers whose work happens to be done on the farm. About 80 catchers are suing Purdue for overtime. And they have won a small legal battle. A federal judge has ruled that Purdue must notify all the catchers of the lawsuit and of their right to participate. There are about 150 Purdue catchers all told. The chicken catchers' day in court may come sometime this year. Meantime, their nights at work continue to stretch past dawn, sometimes past noon, collecting this week's supper for millions of Americans in the chicken houses of Delmarva.